You're listening to the Moms Working Overtime podcast, the community of women you've been searching to find for so long. We bring together our mamas in waiting, brand new moms, stay-at-home moms, working moms, and the moms who maybe just have a little bit more experience than the rest of us. We're all here for community, support, and finding ways to show up better for our families each and every day. I'm so grateful that you're here, and I hope you love what you find on today's episode. Welcome back to the Moms Working Overtime podcast for our Thursday interview series, where we get to bring on other moms just to tell their story, share their experiences, their knowledge to help us for the main reason that we're here, to show up a little bit better every single day. And today I have with me my friend Hannah. I actually reached out to her on social media. She's super sweet, has all kinds of different things. We were just talking about this. We could talk about homeschooling. We could talk about homesteading. She has lots of information just on less toxic living and making and growing our own food. So there's so many different things that she has to offer, and we're going to jump all over the place. So y'all are going to have to hang on today. My questions, I know, Hannah, are all over the place, but welcome. We're so excited to have you here on the Moms Working Overtime podcast.
Awesome. I'm so here for it. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And I told you, I want to give you a chance to introduce yourself before we dive into everything and just share a little bit about you and your family.
Awesome. Well, yes, my name is Hannah. I am a homeschool mom of four. So I have four kids ages 9, 7, 4, and 19 months. So we like to say it's beautifully chaotic around here.
Yes, that's exactly what we say.
It's pretty busy most days. And then it kind of, I'm always kind of wondering what we do all day, and yet it seems full. But so we homeschool. We actually work from home. My husband and I run three businesses from home. So we're basically a full-time family. And we have, I would say, a mini little homestead. We've got some chickens and a rabbit and a garden and hopefully ducks soon. That's my next project. That's kind of what we're working on right now.
You're in for an adventure.
I'm so excited. My daughter's the one that wants them so bad. And when she wants it, you know, my husband's like, whatever she wants.
Yep. For sure. Yeah. No, I grew up on a farm. And so I was lucky enough that livestock was our livelihood. Yeah. And so growing up, I mean, I had every animal under the sun. But now for our kids, I mean, we don't have a significant amount of land. Sure. And I think this is a lot of people right now, just with the concept of homesteading. They're like, well, we could get chickens in the backyard. We could get, you know, a little bit here and a little bit there. And so that's it's going to be great to hear your perspective.
Chickens are the gateway drug. I mean, you got to get a few, and then it's just all downhill from there, you know?
Yep. And I always say I have that type of husband where I could come home with the craziest idea. I could be like, hey, I just bought 5 goats. And he's like, well, that's really inconvenient, but I guess I'll build a fence.
That's exactly what my husband said. He was like, I guess I'm building a duck pond this weekend. Great.
I love that. I love it. I can't wait to hear more. But before we get started, so my audience knows I ask every mom who comes on an interview the same question. And it's really fun to just hear the different perspectives from each mom. So who were you before motherhood? But also, as a side question to that, are you the kind of mom that you expected yourself to be?
Oh, gosh. Am I the kind of mom I expected? I mean, I guess yes and no, a little. I never expected to be a homeschool mom. So I'll throw that out there. I was a daughter of a public school teacher, also grew up on a farm. So I never expected that to be what kind of mom I am today. So that was definitely a complete 180 of what my motherhood life in my mind looked like before I had kids. But as far as like the animals and the things like that, yes, I definitely wanted all of those things because I loved having those things growing up. And it was a big part of my childhood, having horses and cows and all of those things. So eventually we're on a smaller portion of land right now, but yes, eventually we would like to have all of those things. But let's see, what was the first question again?
Who were you before you were a mom?
Before I was a mom. Okay. So I went to college. Actually, I have a degree in family and consumer sciences and a double minor in business marketing and business management. It's funny because I feel like I always wanted to be a mom. I always wanted to be wife and mom, but I did have some pretty big career goals. Family and consumer sciences was kind of the big picture, but underneath that, it was actually under fashion merchandising. That's what I did. So I wanted to go to Paris for a while and study there. I wanted to I wanted to experience big city. And then as a farm kid, I did. I got to experience big city a little bit. My husband was in the Air Force. And when we were first married, he was actually stationed in Washington, D.C. on presidential security. So I got to experience living in the big city for a very short period of time and was like, yep, not for me. So the fashion, I guess, part of my life was not necessarily, I kind of quickly realized that that wasn't what I was called to do. I still love fashion. It's my thing. And I have my own unique flair of everything. But it's just, I feel like it was something that was a hobby, but that I thought was going to turn into my life. And now it's kind of the opposite. My life is more my life, and that's a hobby now. So
Yep. I love that though. And I know that you bring all different blit. This is where I say your brand is so fun and unique because even whenever I was, planning the podcast and outlining, hey, what could we talk about? I'm like, I am all over the place. There are so many
so am
things.
I. I mean, I coach women to build businesses on social media, and we talk about like being kind of niched down in the brand, and then I tell them I'm the worst person to coach you on this because I have a really hard time niching myself down. I have so many hobbies and so many different aspects about myself, and I don't really like to be put in boxes, and so I talk about lots of different things, but that's just who I am. So
We have so much in common that I know we're going to dive into, but I used to work in social media marketing and I think the same thing all the time. I look at my own brand and I'm like, why do you do nothing you
yeah,
teach?
I
Why are you
know.
not following your own rules? I
You're not
totally get it.
coachable. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, but before we get too far in the weeds there, homesteading. You grew up on a farm, tried out the big city, but did you always have this interest that that was going to be your life, that you wanted to homestead, you wanted to grow your own food and have livestock and everything like that?
No doubt. I mean, my dad is a horseman, so from the time I could remember, we've always had horses. It was just a staple. And we didn't, I'm actually from Kansas, and my family owns a ranch in Kansas, but I didn't grow up there. I actually lived in rural towns in East Texas and East New Mexico. But everywhere we went, we always had animals. So always horses. And then as kids, my sisters and I grew up in 4-H and we showed animals at the fair. We had steers, we had lambs, we had pigs at one point. We tried them all. Steers was definitely more of our thing because my dad is a cattle rancher. He comes from, three generations of cattle. But it definitely was like a no doubt, my kids are going to have animals type of thing. When I first got chickens and my son was, gosh, he was so little. He was probably like 2 or 3. I remember my dad came to visit and he said, every kid should have some sort of livestock project, right? I think it's important. And I think, well, we're getting to the age where there's so many people separated from the family farm that they don't know where your food comes from or how that works or the work that goes into raising your food. So he was really thrilled that at that point I had at least got chickens for my son, because he thinks that everybody should have a livestock project. And now that I am a little bit farther into my motherhood, I totally agree. And as a homeschool mom, I think it's all great learning
It
experiences.
is.
Know your food and know where animals come from. And we don't just have laying chickens. In fact, we just ordered 50 meat birds because we process our own chicken. And I have a friend that her eyes got like this big. She's like, you process all those chickens with your kids? And I'm like, yeah, they go catch them for us and help us. I think it's important. I think they should see where their food comes from and the work that goes into making your food so that they appreciate that a little bit more. But yeah, I definitely, it was kind of a non-negotiable when my husband and I got married, just so you know, like we will have animals. I don't know what kind yet, but just be prepared.
He had no idea what he was in for.
No, he had no idea, but he loves it.
I agree though. Growing up on a farm, there was two big pieces that I really appreciate. Now that I'm adult, I don't know if you're like this, but when I was a kid, I was like, this sucks sometimes.
Yeah,
Like, why do
terrible.
we have to do all this? You complain about it more than anything. But looking back now, the first thing, responsibility. Like, I can't think of a better way to teach my kids responsibility than the way that I grew up. So I want to replicate that. And maybe it's because that's what I know, but I'm like, that is just the best way to build that level of responsibility. And the second thing is the respect. I think people who are so far removed from where our food comes from don't understand that, especially your small family farming businesses, They are so respectful and caring and loving to these animals. These animals
Oh,
are
yeah.
our life. And so what
Yes.
are we supposed to do other than make sure that they have everything that they need, that they're healthy? And even your kids, I know that some people will listen and say, "Oh my gosh, she has her kids help butcher chickens." I know that because, we get so far removed from where our food comes from. They don't understand, "Hey, when the kids help with that, it's a process of talking about, hey, these are going to feed our family. This is very
Yes.
important. This is why we take care of them so well."
Yes, exactly. And I mean, we are hunters as well, and the same conversation happens there, right? That we respect the animal and what they are there to provide, and that's definitely very biblical for us too, right? And it's just so important, I think, for them to see it from a young age, because to me, the sooner that you can expose them to that, the less they are going to be shocked when they're an adult when they see those types of things, right? So, yeah.
There's so many different things we could talk about there, but I
Oh, yeah.
love that. So with your kids and everything that you all juggle, I the working mom, stay-at-home mom life, I'm with you, sister, solidarity, as they scream out in the kitchen right now as we record. But
Right.
what does a typical day look like for you and juggling all the things?
That's it's such, like I said, it's kind of crazy because like I said, I feel like I don't know what we do, and yet the day is full. So, typically for me, I get up pretty early. I try to, at least this time change is kind of messing with me, but I get up pretty early to work out. And I talk about that on my social media page, which also could be somebody thinking like, this seems a little weird and like off that this homeschool mom's talking about working out in her stories. But I do it because I think a lot of, I mean, moms just in general, but especially stay-at-home moms and homeschool moms, your day is full of taking care of everybody else and everything else that it's really hard to find something for yourself. So I get up really early to go on a quick run and work out in the garage because it's, first of all, it's the only quiet time of the day.
Yes.
Okay. So I have four kids.
It's a beautiful moment when you do that for the moms that are listening.
Quiet.
It's just a beautiful silence.
Yeah, it's kind of like that mini vacation after you buckle them in the car and you walk to your side. You know, it's like the mini vacation, okay? So, I do that. I get up pretty early, I work out, we get ready for the day. We typically make breakfast together as a family. I actually don't do homeschooling in the morning because my kids typically will eat breakfast and then they're really excited to go run off and play, and I allow them to do that. And it's kind of worked out for us that then they kind of run off to play. I spend about an hour in my office doing my work from home. And after that, we typically come back together. We do about an hour of homeschool. We break for lunch. By the way, I think most of my day is probably done making food and doing dishes.
I was gonna
Okay.
say.
So we break for lunch, we do lunch, and then if we need to finish up school after lunch, we'll do that. But then again, they pretty much have the rest of the afternoon free, which I remind my 9-year-old son a lot that he's very lucky. He doesn't go to school all day and he gets tons of free time. He's 9, he's really into hunting. He likes to grab his bow, go outside and shoot, the girls play, whatever. It's kind of our free time. That might be the time that I spend in the garden if it's that type of season for me, or try to keep my house somewhat clean. It's a lot when you stay home and you work from home because home is your office and your food and all the things. And sometimes I think my house is such a wreck, but then I'm like, six people live here, Hannah, like every single day.
I
Nobody,
agree.
right? But we have extracurricular activities sometimes, like I said, 4-H meetings, or the girls have little writing lessons that they do with my friends sometimes. But we like to keep our afternoons pretty free. Sometimes we'll pick up and head out on an adventure, or maybe go help dad do some work. And then dinner and bedtime, and yeah, the day is full, and that's pretty much all we do. But
And
it's,
then we start all over
and we
again.
do it all over again. Yeah, exactly.
And the funny thing is, Sarah, Hannah, the reason I ask questions like that is your life is just as ordinary as any other
Yeah,
mom's. But when
100%.
moms see all that you do, homesteading and homeschooling and running the businesses and keeping the house and all these things, they're like, how does she do it? What does her day look like? And I think there's just this level of curiosity and thinking that there's these huge differences between us as moms, but it's really
It's really not.
dishes and cooking and
Yeah, it's really not. I've always thought maybe I could try to film one of those day in the life reels, which by the way, I don't know how people do that because I feel like I got to move it around to different angles for it to actually look right.
Yeah.
Other than people being like, I don't want to watch you wash your dishes. Like
Yeah.
that, whatever. Anyway, but yes, it's pretty mundane. It's pretty much the same things every day. I like to say we have structure with flexibility. So I don't really like, I hate schedules. So I don't love to be scheduled. Maybe that's why homeschooling worked out pretty well for us. I don't love schedules, but having a little bit of structure for my day helps so that I kind of have an idea of where things will fit. And if we have to throw it all out the window and start over, it's fine. I try not to stress about it too much, but yeah, it's kind of just normal everyday things.
I love that. So, another area where we relate that led you to this, and well, I guess your decision to leave your career, did that happen before kids or after kids?
Well, I was still working full time up until the time that my first son was born.
Okay.
I kind of had left the, I would say, so I was doing like retail management. So working in stores like Macy's, or I was a store manager for Carter's Kids Clothes for a while. But honestly, I hated it. I hated it so much because retail, if you work in any type of service or, food or retail space, the hours are long. You're there on weekends and nights and holidays, and we didn't have kids yet, but we definitely were still like, this is not going to work when we have kids. How are we going to do this, right? So I had kind of pivoted to doing bookkeeping and office work for a couple of companies, and I took a huge pay cut doing that, but at least it provided a more like Monday through Friday 9 to 5 schedule that I liked, so I could have the weekend with my husband. And I did that all the way up until I had my first son. And there was even a point where I was like, okay, I wonder how I'm going to make this work, like go back to work. And, once a lot of moms can relate, but once you have that tiny baby in your hands, for me, I was like, I'm never leaving him. I
I can
can't.
relate.
He's too cute. I cannot leave him. And so then we kind of just went through this crazy journey of trying to figure out how to make it work on one income. And my husband is incredible and he's so supportive of that. And I really said, like, I don't want to put him in a daycare. I want to stay home with him. He was like, I want you to stay home with him. I don't want you to go to work. I will do whatever it took. And he did. He worked 2 and 3 jobs to make it happen. And we kind of scraped and struggled by, but it's been the best sacrifice ever. I can't imagine not doing it at this point.
Hands down, hands down. And this is a huge area we relate that when I heard more about your story, I was like, oh my gosh, it's just thing after thing after thing. Because I have my master's degree and I worked in healthcare as an occupational therapist and, transitioned to working in the nutrition space. But over time, and again, you hold that baby and you're like, wait a second, reality check. What am I going to do? And I went back to work after our first and, we put him in daycare and slowly over the next year, I feel like life just kept speaking to us. We moved closer to family. I got signs that it was time to leave my career. I started my business and I was like, man. And then the last slap in the face, I shouldn't say slap in the face, but just awakening from God was his daycare closed. And I was like, okay, I have chills right
That's
now because
it.
it just seemed like in my face, like, okay, we're supposed to do something else here. And I really think that that's just that instinctual, like in our motherhood journeys, we just know what we need to do, what that's best for our families and for our children.
I mean, and we could have a whole podcast about how the US is terrible with like maternity leave for mothers. Like
Awful.
we're expected to go back to work, 6 weeks after having our baby, and nowhere else in the world does that. But also, shout out to living in the day and age that we do, that we can create these incomes from home, because so many people, I don't think, realize that you can do something and make a difference and bridge that gap and take off the financial pressure, and you don't have to leave your house anymore. I mean, as much as I don't love what happened during the pandemic, I do think that it opened some doors for people to kind of see some options out
I
there.
agree.
And I think that now more than ever, we're starting to realize like we have so much technology in our hands that you can totally create a different lifestyle from your home and from your phone and from your computer, and doing a little bit of work in your day, but being able to stay home with your babies. And I think that's such a cool movement that we have as mothers now.
It really is. And I'm sure you would agree with this. I work harder now than I've ever worked in my entire life between motherhood and running my business, but I would not have it any other way.
Oh, no
The
doubt.
flexibility and the freedom to just be there for the kids is everything.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's definitely days, and homeschool moms talk about this all the time too, because there's definitely days that I feel like it would be so much easier to send them off on the bus, right? And check out from it, or go to a job where I don't have distractions while I'm working. But I wouldn't, I'm with you. I wouldn't trade it. I would do it every single day. I would work twice as hard just so that I could be here to experience all these little moments and be a part of their life, and be able to structure our life around what we want to do instead of going to places that we don't want to be. you know.
Absolutely. I work with moms one-on-one and I always tell them, you'll never regret switching jobs to something that's more flexible or leaving your job or making financial sacrifices, whatever that looks like for you and your family, you'll never regret it if it gives you more time with your children, especially when they're really young like this. I think just these years go so fast. And so I think that's really cool. And something I told you I wanted to chat about is just more and more women going back to our roots. I don't know how else to say that, but going back to embracing and being proud of our nurturing role and being proud of the role that we have with raising our children. And I personally, I don't know about you, I love taking care of our home. I love being the one that can make meals and sit down with my family and eat and, be taking care of everyone. And so how have you embraced that? Or, what kind of conversations have you been having with the brand that you've built in regards to all these crazes that are leading women back to homesteading and sourdough, and I love it. I'm here for it.
Well, I think it's such a cool, it is a cool movement, right? Because again, it's like we weren't born in the wrong era, right? We get to do these really awesome traditional roles, but in a really cool space on social media, and we find our people, which I think is part of the biggest reason why I love social media, because some people hate it. I love it because you find your people, right? A lot of us, I feel like, especially women, start to compare and we compete with each other. And maybe you have a group of people around you personally that doesn't really support your lifestyle or support the way you do things, but you could find the people that will support you and stand up behind you and be like, yes, yes, girl, do it, right? But I definitely embraced the mothering part and getting into that feminine and it really embracing that wife and mother role. And I think for so long, the feminist movement kind of told us that that wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for you to be mom and wife. And to be really honest, then the economy was so terrible that you couldn't just be mom and wife. Mothers had to leave to go work. There was it, we've been so far away from the age of, one income has actually supported families. That's almost impossible. That's pretty much obsolete at this point. And it's not getting better, let's be honest. So it's really hard for families to live on one income these days. And so it kind of pushed mothers out of the home naturally because they had to go and provide. But I see this huge movement of these women that are like, I want to be home, right? And maybe you can relate too as a farm kid, because I feel like farm kids in our era were told, go to college, get a good job. The farm is not a good job for you. You've got to go get a job. You can't support yourself on a
We
farm.
all got told to go to college in my
And
family,
now
all of us
all of us
kids.
are like, all we want is a farm. Like, just give it to us, right? But it's just really, I think, embracing, loving that role in your life. And I'll be really honest, there was a time not so long ago that I didn't love cooking, right? And I saw it as an extra chore. And I would get really bitter and jealous about the fact that why is this my job all the time? Why do I have to come up with meals 365 days a year? Like, that seems a bit excessive, right? But I'll be honest, there was a point where I had to say, you can either choose to not like this job or you can embrace it and you can choose to find joy in it. And that honestly is when I started sourdough. And I have a lot of friends that helped me get started. Sourdough craze went
It's a
big, right?
beast.
It's a
I do
beast.
it, and it's a good, you know what? It's the one thing in my life right now that I consider a hobby that challenges me. Because man, sometimes it doesn't work and I get so mad.
I know. It's so fun. I mean, I definitely feel like it's a bit meditative for me. Like making bread is a bit meditative. And I do think that I think a lot of people are starting to realize that sometimes slowing down to do those things actually helps you slow down in general because we're all just going super fast
It's
through life.
delayed gratification. Bread making is delayed gratification.
So, but I really had to have a mindset shift there for myself of saying like, you get to feed your family and what a blessing that is. And you know what? When your kids grow up, they're going to remember you that your house smelled like fresh bread. They're going to remember, mom's meatloaf was my favorite. And I want them to have those memories. I want to be the grandma that they come and their kids are like, grandma, can you make me this? Right? Whatever. So I really just had to choose to be happy and find joy in it. And now it's like, I would probably ditch everything else just to go in there and bake bread now. Like, I would, and there's days that I don't want to do anything else but be in the kitchen because I find joy in it now. And I think we really we really discount the fact that your mindset around things can really make or break anything that you try and want to do. So just choosing to find joy and knowing that like you're feeding your family, you're keeping them healthy, and then that starts to play into like growing a garden. Now you can grow your own produce, and it really starts to expand from there. And it's funny how it'll turn into a hobby real quick.
Yeah, I mean, you can get the kids involved and teach them so much through everything that happens from the garden to the kitchen.
Oh
I
yeah.
mean, all the responsibility and just get like their ability to take initiative to grab a spatula and start helping you at the stove
Oh.
or to wash dishes after dinner.
100%. My daughter is 7, my second oldest is 7, and the other day we were at the dinner table and she was talking about how she wants to be a baker and she wants to open her own bakery, and of course I'm like, you can do whatever you want, babe.
Yeah.
Like, I will help you. And she said the other day to me, and it almost made me cry because I thought maybe I made that choice to find joy in this before she remembers me not having joy in this. Because the other day she told me, she said, I'm going to be the best baker because you're teaching me how to do it. And I was like, oh, it just struck me right in the heart, right? And we can be really hard on ourselves. So if you're listening to this and you're feeling that bitterness of cooking or whatever chore it is around your house, do not feel guilty. Do not feel that I'm
Nope.
harping on you at all. But we really do get to set that tone in our family. And it's not too late to find joy in the mundane and to find joy in the work that you do for your family. So it was such a beautiful moment for me. And she's been doing all kinds of experiments in the kitchen lately that I'm like, I walk in and I open the fridge. I'm like, I don't know what that is, but okay, we're tasting it after dinner, everybody, just so you know.
I love it. No, I mean, a lot of motherhood is a mindset thing. If you can win the battle over your mind, you're going to be a lot happier through this entire journey. We talk about that a lot on the podcast, and I think there's one of two perspectives you can adopt. You can adopt the perspective that this is all on you and this sucks and why the heck is nobody helping me? Or you can adopt the perspective that if anyone else had to step into your role and do this, they would probably face plant. And like
Exactly.
what we do, we should be so proud of what we juggle and how we provide and how we nurture and just the impact that it's not just cooking a meal. Like you said, it's creating memories. It's sitting down and providing opportunities for conversation at the table. It's teaching them responsibilities that someday they'll be a better help to their spouse because of what you did in the kitchen. And so when I think about it that way, I'm like, I'm so proud to be the one to do this. And
Yes.
nobody could do it like me.
Exactly. You really have to start, hyping yourself up every day because nobody, here's the thing, and I think that's why we start to get a negative attitude towards it, is because nobody's over here cheering us on, right? Nobody's over here clapping that you scrub toilets today. But, you can be that for yourself. And it is hard, I would say, watching, women that I know that are very successful in their careers or working moms. And sometimes it gets hard because as a homeschool mom, you feel like you're not getting that recognition, or a stay-at-home mom, or whatever kind of mom you are. But you definitely feel like those jobs are not celebrated, and they're not. Let's be real. People do not clap and cheer for you when you clean your house or you cook a meal. But again, I go back to my faith and my devotionals, that it's like, this is what we were meant to do. We were meant to be nurturing. We were meant to take care of our families in this way. And every time I start to feel like not appreciated for the work that I do, I always know that like he's looking and he's super proud of the woman and the mother that I am. And again, doing it with a joyful heart, when I do it happily, I know that he's very proud of me. And so I just keep thinking, gotta do it happily, right? Like,
Yeah.
gotta do it.
Motherhood's a ministry.
Yes,
Motherhood is
it is.
absolutely a ministry. It's a sacrifice. It's not supposed to be easy. I think that's such an important
No,
reminder. Social
exactly.
media can make it look easy. Like you said, if you're looking for that on social and you're looking for that comparison, you can find it. But if you're looking for the right things, the positive things, then you'll see it's sacrifice and it's hard.
Yeah, totally
Okay,
agree.
let's shift gears a little bit. Because I
Okay,
told
let's
you
do
we're
it.
going to touch on this because I think there's a lot of interested mamas who listen to the podcast. Actually, last episode I did on homeschooling, I got messages. You know, it's just so helpful to hear about the resources and some guidance on this. So, with your homeschooling adventure, do you follow a specific curriculum? I know there's curriculums out there and different resources that you can use. Is there anything you can share with the audience if a mom is interested in that?
Absolutely. So this is definitely something in my homeschooling journey that I did not know. I did not know that there was curriculum you could buy. I thought you had to write your own lesson plans, like a teacher, because I was a teacher's kid and I thought, oh my God, I have to write lesson plans every year for these kids and I don't know what I'm doing, right? You don't have to do that. There's open and go curriculums that are really incredible. We use a curriculum called My Father's World. actually have it linked in my bio, so if you follow me on Instagram, you can check out
Perfect.
that link there. It's super easy to find. We love it. I did a little bit of digging and research. I had another friend that was doing it at the time. Her daughter was 1 year older than my son, so it was perfect because she gave me, right what I was going to need for the next year. But I started doing some digging, and we definitely wanted a Christian curriculum. So if you're looking for a Christian curriculum, this is a great one that I highly recommend. It is a classical type curriculum. So if you're not into classical, you can look for some other ones. However, I will say I really think it's super easy to follow for me on the
Can
parent-teacher.
you, not to interrupt you, Hannah, can you explain what classical means? Because
So
even for me,
classical.
not homeschooling, I don't know what that means.
So classical is just a style of homeschooling, and there's a few different ones, which, by the way, also I get this question a lot too. So that's linked in my bio too. You can actually take a little quiz to kind of find your style. So you may have heard
Perfect.
of like Montessori or Waldorf, classical, unschooling. Those are kind of just some, I guess, titles of styles of homeschooling. And you can kind of take some quizzes online, and I highly recommend don't just do it in your perspective, but like how your kid learns too. Okay. Because some kids are super visual learners, some are hands-on learners. So think about your child as you're taking these quizzes as well. But it'll kind of give you an idea and give you kind of a description of each style of homeschooling. But I really love it because it's more of an open and go type thing. You can buy a whole pack all at once. You could definitely pick and choose things, but I am definitely a give it all to me and I will do it from there. I'll divvy it out from there. I'll either add to it or take away. But it really is just super easy for the parent to follow, and it goes through everything. So they have obviously your science, your math, your reading, your writing. They even have inserts in there for like music, classical music, and foreign language that you can add in there. So it's kind of a whole and all in one, right? So it's pretty easy to follow. But we liked it because it was a Christian-based curriculum. I love that it actually incorporates the Bible into everything. So as we're going into science, like we're talking about the sun and we're talking about the moon and the stars, and then it'll have a little excerpt in there, like, okay, well, remember when we talked about the 7 days of creation, God said this, right? So it really kind of incorporates everything back to the Bible, which that was my main focus, was to keep God at the center of our schools. Because that's not what's happening in public schools these days. And that was really important to us. But like I said, it's super easy to follow. It is a bit, I would say, of a financial investment, but don't let that discourage you. If you aren't in a position to purchase a big curriculum like that, there's so many free resources out there today too. And if anybody listening wants to message me, I can help you find those as well. But we put our first curriculum on a credit card because I thought it was going to be a lot easier than me trying to go and find all the things myself. And it was worth it. I really do enjoy following it. And I have two of the kids in homeschool right now, two different ages. I think a lot of people get really nervous with that too. Like, how do you teach different ages? And this curriculum actually knows that. They know that families are going to be teaching multiple ages. So it'll actually have pieces in there where it says, like, if they're grade four and above, add this, right? So you can kind of do this little like one room schoolhouse type feel, but you're just adding two for bigger kids and simplifying it for little. So it kind of helps you learn how to teach that way too. So I love
I
that.
love it. Anyone who's listening, if you have more questions about what she's talking about, first of all, she's super responsive on social media. I try and only bring moms on here that are good about the community aspect, where if my listeners are going to reach out and ask questions, I know that they're responsive. And so I will put her Instagram handle, any of the resource links that she shares with me, I'm going to put them in the podcast description so you mamas can grab that and ask her more questions, because I know that is different than the curriculum that our other mama uses who listens or who came on the podcast. So that's just good to hear different ideas.
And don't be afraid to try different ones too. I mean, some of them, I know the other one that I always recommend to people is The Good and the Beautiful. That's
That's
another,
the other one she had
that's a
mentioned.
really great one too. So those are definitely my top two. And both of them have free samples that you can download. So, if you have, let's say you have a kid coming up into kinder, you could try both and see like which one is working before you invest the money into the whole set. So definitely take advantage of those free resources, and you can make a decision as you go. And also, homeschooling is not a one size fits all either. So it could work for you for a little bit, and then you have to pivot and try something else later. It's okay to be flexible. So be ready to do that. Also, again, every kid is different. So what works for one might not work for the other. So you got to be willing to kind of move around there too.
Absolutely. So when it comes to that's dipping your toe into the homeschool side of things. Now let's talk about dipping your toe into the homesteading side of things.
Okay, let's
A
do it.
little bit
Yeah.
more challenging, maybe, maybe not. But a lot of moms I know are interested in taking back control. What's in their food? What ends up on their family's plates? But they don't have acreage. They don't have the know-how when it comes to livestock. If someone is just wanting to get started somewhere, what would you recommend?
So, first of all, chickens are the thing. There, you can do
The
chickens.
gateway
Okay.
drug.
If you're really interested in chickens, I highly recommend you try them. Most cities at this point have some sort of permit that you can get, and all of them are different. It could be, 4 to 6, maybe even 8 chickens that you could have in your backyard. And we're talking like quarter acre homesteads, okay? Like, they don't have to be big at all. We live on a half acre, so I'm not living on a big piece of land here. But you can really, Pinterest is also a really cool tool. If you've ever seen people that are really great at planning a layout on a really small plot of land of like garden, it's really interesting to me. It's fascinating to me to see how people can take such a small piece and create so much, like create their own produce and have a couple of chickens. Chickens are great because I think they're really easy, to be honest. And maybe that's just biased because I was on a farm and I had to take care of things like cows and horses, which are not easy. But chickens are a pretty simple project. So you can get started for very little. Like the investment is pretty small. And then you're just cleaning chicken coops and feeding, and they're so fun. They really are. They're really fun to watch. I don't we call it like the chicken TV, right? Like you get a cup of coffee and you'll want to go out in the yard and just watch your chickens scratch around in the grass. It's great. So if you're gonna dip your toe into homesteading, I highly recommend chickens as your first livestock project because I do think they're pretty easy. Tractor Supply has lots of chickens right now. So you can go and they'll give you a whole box and you can take them home and they're so cute. But social media and YouTube is definitely your best friend at like setting up little brooders and getting a light. And also those people at Tractor Supply can help you with all the things that you need to get started. So I highly just recommend trying it. Like, okay, this may sound terrible, but it's like if a chicken dies, it's okay. It's just one chicken. Like, don't freak out. Okay, you're learning. But just try it. Chickens are great. That's kind of where we started. And then from there, we started a small garden, then we pushed out to a bigger garden, and then of course sourdough. So I don't really think, homesteading is not how much land you have. It's really a state of mind, and it is being willing to learn and grow and do what you can to, control what goes in your family's food and in your freezers and all of those things. My suggestion for bigger livestock is like that. I'm a daughter of a cattle rancher. Like, get with your local farmers and ranchers. We actually do work with people locally selling like half and whole beefs of cow every year. So, getting away from the grocery stores as much as you can and becoming self-sufficient is such a huge passion of mine because I really truly believe that we've all watched those terrible like zombie apocalypse movies, but like the grocery stores is first to go, right? Like everybody goes and they raid the grocery store. So the more you can have a full freezer and a full stocked pantry, the better. And it's just going to provide that peace of mind for you that you can take care of your family. Hunting is great. Also, I feel like that goes in hand with homesteading. If you are interested in hunting, you can totally go find your local game and fish and talk to them about that because I just feel like it's important for us to get back to those roots of like being able to provide for your family, right? So,
Absolutely.
but yeah, chickens are the gateway drug. So do that first. It's a perfect time of year to go do it. Go get
It
chickens.
really is. On the weekends, we go to our local like Tractor Supply and we let the kids walk around, look at the chickens and all the
Oh,
animals they
I can't because I'll bring them all home. Like, I love them so much. I would take all the chickens. We'd have to probably build like 3 more coops.
I love it. I love it. But really the take home message here for anyone in the audience is, okay, maybe you don't have your own livestock, but you can seek out local farmers. And it's actually a huge deal for them to receive that local support too. Even,
Definitely.
even if they aren't typically doing that and they're selling out to, a larger food supply company right now, it's nice to receive that support and they'll most
Yeah.
likely help you out.
Well, and on the flip side of that too, just for the farmer, I mean, they're going to make more money selling directly to customers and consumers because I mean, the beef industry is crazy. And they're happier to work with local customers. I mean, I know my dad is, he loves cows and he loves like all the things and he's really into genetics and all of that. Like we even do this whole program that's like, what kind of beef do you want? Like, do you want it grass fed? Do you want it grain fed? Do you want it grass finished? I mean, he's really there to please. He wants to help people get what they want in their freezer for, you know, what their family needs. So, you know, even working with local farmers is going to allow you to even customize your experience even more. And I think we're definitely a generation of people that are caring more and wanting to get back to knowing where their food comes from, knowing the farmer, knowing the rancher, all of those things. And we have that opportunity now. Social media is great. You can connect with tons and tons of farmers. And you know, being the daughter of a cattle rancher, so many farms have been sold over the past decades, and it's because they're just really struggling. So the more we go back to supporting them and helping them, the more that they can thrive. And that's really what we all want. We don't want those small farms to be sold out to big corporations. We really don't. So
No,
yeah,
no.
the more you can get in touch or, you know, ask. My favorite, honestly, the most people that find us from like Facebook groups, like mom groups. So get a local mom group on your Facebook and say, hey, does anybody know where I can purchase a half a cow? And I
Yes.
bet you somebody will tell you yes, they will know somebody, right?
Yep.
So, you know, utilize all of those social media things to help you get there. But yeah, farmers markets are great, obviously, as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just people really waking up and realizing that they want to know where their food comes from. They want to know more about what they're putting in their body, which I'm so glad for. I'm so like people, I work in the overall wellness nutrition space. And so I work with a lot of other professionals in the industry who sometimes will joke like, oh my gosh, the sourdough craze, or oh my gosh, you know,
They make
everyone
fun of
going
us.
crazy about everything being organic. And I'm like, look, I'm just glad people are paying attention. Like, I'm thrilled that people are excited about knowing what's in their food, and I will roll with it. I don't care what kind of craze it becomes, I'm gonna roll with it.
I'm with you 100%. Yes, I'm almost done. Sorry. There's one kid. See, there was going to be one.
That's okay. Everyone who's listening is mom, so they're like, I know
I
exactly
know.
how that feels.
Yeah, I was just on a meeting before this too, and my little came in to nurse, and I was like, "Well, this is what you get when you work with me. Much me nurse a baby while we're on Zoom."
They actually know, usually I nurse while, when I record solo episodes, I'm usually nursing while I'm doing it.
Well, see, I mean, but
Here we
again,
are.
we're empowering women to embrace their motherhood and work at
That's
the same
right.
time, and I think that's such a beautiful thing. Like, we can do both. We're incredible women. You're capable of doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, no, honestly, it's perfect timing because I just appreciate you jumping around with me. I know that we were kind of all over the place with all
I
things
love it.
homeschooling and homesteading, and it's just I relate to you on so many levels, and I want to bring more moms on who are willing to open up and share about this lifestyle and that it's doable and that it doesn't have to be overwhelming or stressful, but just taking those small steps. And I just appreciate you being able to come on and talk about it.
Well, this was so fun. I love it. I'm definitely the bounce around girl, so we could talk about all kinds of things forever. We could be
Perfect,
here all
perfect.
day.
Well, hey, I want to give you a chance before we, you know, conclude today's episode. What is a message you would leave with the Moms Working Overtime community?
I would simply just say, embrace the chaos for now. It's gonna be a little nuts. You're right in the thick of it, right? I made a TikTok the other day that everybody was laughing about, and it was me trying to carry my 19-month-old son while he's throwing this massive fit. And I put that Trace Adkins song, "You're Gonna Miss This," right? And it's funny and it's sad at the same time, because we know as moms, you know, this time is short. You know, the nights are long, but the years are short. But in the meantime, you can really do whatever you need to do to be a good mom and a good wife, and do great at your job, and know that you're not going to be perfect, and that's okay. Just embrace the chaos and know that you can really create this life that you always wanted to live, and enjoy the mess. Enjoy the, you know, learning. And if you're interested in things like homeschooling and homesteading, like, absolutely, please come message me. But just get started. Like, just get started. Get your kids involved. Get in the kitchen with them. Get out in the garden and dig some dirt and move some seeds around and see what happens. It's just really about embracing this beautiful life that we're given and enjoying where we are and loving and being grateful for where we are, and knowing that we can create something really beautiful at the same time. And you can go wherever you want to go with it. You can do both. You can work, you can be a mom, you can do it all together. But it's really just, I just really love bringing that faith back to moms, that first of all, you're seen. I know you're working really hard and I know you're doing all the things. And sometimes it feels like doing one more thing just can't add to your plate. But if it brings you joy, do it. If it brings you
It
joy,
might
do
be
it.
that one thing that fills your cup in the best way.
Exactly, exactly. So, yes, loved this so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Anyone who's listening, I just want to remind you, links are in the description for every single podcast. Go follow Hannah. She's so sweet. She's just been so great to have on the podcast. If you're watching the YouTube version, then you can definitely just see how genuine she is and how fun she is to be around. And so please follow her, engage with her, ask her any questions that you have. And a reminder, mamas, that I'll give you before we let you go today, that I hope you get in your every single day-to-day life that you'll always get when you come to the Moms Working Overtime podcast, is you're doing a really amazing job and you need to hear that every single day. And mama, we'll talk again soon. If you loved this episode of Moms Working Overtime, do me a favor. Share it on social media or send it to another mom to remind her that you love her and that she's doing such an amazing job. There's nothing more incredible that we can do in this community than remind other mamas of their strength. I'm so glad you were here today, and just know that I appreciate you an overtime amount.